yes, 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 yes. Feel incredible!
It's not a cartoon! It's anime!
Welcome to another episode of Animation! Squad is back. Myself, Brennan, Ice, Rob.
What's up?
Be out here. You know what we do out here, man. We review anime. We debate anime. We review movies. We do all that, man. It's the anime podcast out here in these streets. Thank y'all for tuning in to another week of us. Blaze of Immortal, episodes 5 through 8.
I have a funny thought, side note, is that I have a roommate as well as, like, I live in an apartment. And I just have never explained what I do, like, once or twice a week when I'm just like yelling for no reason. So I'm just curious. It's like, when my roommate's like, what is he?
I thought you were staying with your bro and his wife.
No. I live with my cousin now. That we separated like bad this past.
Oh, it's your cousin. He doesn't know? Your cousin doesn't know?
I mean, I've never explained it to him. He doesn't like anime. So
he didn't know what the power of was.
Yeah, I mean, why would you know? And then on top of it, I don't think he's ever liked
that's
anime.
Your, that's
so
your
why
cousin,
would
he... though. He should inquire a little bit.
You would think. That's my point. You would think.
Based off what Brennan's told me about what his cousin sounds like when he's playing Fortnite, this is like equal payback. You know what I mean? Yeah. So
no arguments whatsoever.
Is that the one that we always see?
Yeah. Lights can do. Yeah, Amir,
he knows the podcast. Yeah. He's been in there before.
Oh, okay, whatever.
I think he's even done sound for it before.
Oh, he might have.
Either way, still probably funny that I'm just like randomly on a Wednesday afternoon just screaming in my room.
Screaming your head off.
Yo, if you just hear like nerd from like another room, I'll be cracking up.
Do you rage, Brennan?
No, I'm not a rage. He is. Yeah. He's a rage quitter, rage player, like all that. I'm not a. I've had moments of rage when I game, but I'd say it's few and far between. I'd say that Rob has seen moments where I could have raged that I have not many times over.
That's true.
So I'm not a big rager. I'm just normally get really quiet. I'm just like, okay. And I'll just set the controller down and just like, I'm going to go for a walk. And I'll just walk away. I'm like that kind of a gamer.
I'm a rage guy.
I wasn't too much, but I also didn't play a lot online. And so I got on Street Fighter. I think the newest Street Fighter that came out, I think it was Street Fighter 3 or 4, whatever it was. And I was getting smoked online. And I threw my controller. I said, I can't do this shit no more. I just play the computer, man. I was getting smoked online.
Yo, I'd like to say a statement right now that is going to be controversial and that goes against everything I believe within me for the most part. I think that I'm going to be an ICE supporter today. I think I'm here for it.
It goes against everything that you believe.
An alliance is being born, man.
That is the interesting term to use. I'm just saying, like, after our conversation ahead of time today, I may be agreeing with Ice, and I don't know how I feel about that. So that's all.
You got it.
Here's the thing. We're gonna all agree at some point. Not just because of all together, but I'm like we did like 20 episodes of this podcast before we agreed at some point.
And it's funny too because Keenan and I were on the same path for a while, and then after it shifted, we haven't really recovered from that.
You have carved your own path. Like, you're just like, I am who I am, and y'all can disagree with everything, and I'm here to be ignorant as fuck, which you'll disagree with, but that's fine.
If that's the case,
waking up is trash.
Drinking water?
Water, trash.
That would mean I'm depressed, man. I'm not depressed.
You're just a troll, fam.
I want to wake up in the morning.
I gotta stick by. I'm gonna be cool to Ice today. That is my mantra for
that
today.
That is a mantra.
I'm gonna be cool with Ice. I'm here for it. Ice.
I mean, you did have.
I like your shirt. I like your shirt.
Similar
Ice.
To your shirt. So thank you.
Yes, we out here. Go ahead. So what are we doing today again? What's going on?
Oh no! If we're on the same page, then you have to enjoy this as well.
It's part and parcel, man.
You set yourself up, Brennan.
You have to love this. I need to see your face. Get into the camera, Brennan, when I say this. There should be
I don't feel like this is
there's no distress on your face. You can't be over it. when I say this. You guys are tuning in to the greatest fucking anime podcast in the entire world.
Brennan, do you agree?
And just hey, like man. That, it's over.
I think we have an amazing group of people here. We have amazing conversations. I can understand. I can understand where Ice is coming from. You know what I'm saying?
Brennan is a very intelligent dude who, as soon as he said he 100% he's gonna agree with Ice's episode, I said the first thing I said, how's he gonna agree out in the first 2 minutes? Yeah. I already knew he hates this. So how's he gonna agree with this?
It's okay. Like, you know, I appreciate that Ice is expressing his feelings about something that may or may not be correct. You know what I'm saying? I feel like there's a lot of people who agree with that statement. And so I'm really happy to hear that.
A lot of people do agree.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You are one of them today.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're doing episode five through eight. Blades of the Immortal. Hope y'all been following along. Take us
let's
all.
Let's all. Wait, but hold on. I'm sorry. There's one fact that we have to make sure is understood before we jump into what happens in episode five. I forget whose pick is this again?
Keenan.
Okay, just making sure. Go ahead, Rob.
And all from right. And from what I understand,
you didn't forget at all.
No,
there's
no lapse of memory there.
This is not an audience pick, everybody. This is Keenan's pick. Go ahead, Rob. We out here.
All right, so episode five, you know, they're on the road. You got Manji and Rin, our two main characters. They're stopping off at the next place, grabbing a bite to eat. Rin goes into the back to use the restroom, and Manji's just kind of hanging out, waiting for the food to come out, when a monk walks by. This dude wearing, like, a big straw hat. You know, I've seen... he had, like, a big staff walking by, sits next to... sits next to Manji and strikes up a conversation with him. And Manji is immediately suspicious about, like, all right, I don't think
his
this
hat
guy
was dope.
He did have a dope hat. Yeah.
It's like one of those whole face covering with like a little eye slot, you know, and he has like the shiny, the jingly monk thing that's from Inuyasha is where I saw that for the first time, at least for me. But go ahead.
Did you finish Inuyasha?
No, I will never finish Inuyasha.
He just saw that thing and checked out. So he's getting a visit from the Inuyasha monk, and he's suspicious of this guy, and maybe because he watched Inuyasha too. But he sits down and he's just talking with him, just like, hey, so you're like, you're a traveling monk. And yeah, it comes to light pretty quickly that this guy is not all he appears to be. And he immediately reaches out and it's just like, listen, I know who you are, Manji. Like, I know you're going after the Itoryu. Like, I'm going after him too. And I know where Kagisa is at. And if you, depending on how you answer this next question, like, I can tell you where he is. And Manji's just like, all right, like, let's just get to it. What's your question? And he wants to team up because he knows that Manji's immortal. And he's just like, you need more people to help you out. Manji just doesn't seem to like the vibe of this guy. I don't remember exactly why he didn't trust him. Just, I guess,
well,
distrust
said,
of everybody.
He already kind of knows that this dude... His sword has, or he reeked of blood.
Yeah, that's right. He's like, oh, you killed a lot more people than I have. Yeah,
he said, I only got 128.
Yeah, so you something's off about you. So I think he felt that vibe right there. That this dude's a stone cold killer.
Yeah. Now, does that mean that he's got like an extra sense of smell, or are people that dirty in like ancient Japan? You could just smell every kill.
That's a good question.
That somebody's had on them because they're not bathing. They're just worried about that next fight.
At least the Vikings on Vinland Saga, they bathe every Saturday.
Once a week, yeah. They had their day.
Did we see any have we actually had any bathing references at all on this show yet?
Rin did once when she right before she ran into Kagisa, she took a bath in the river.
But I think that's just like a warrior type thing. Like they can all sense that, like they can sense like battle, or they can sense that type of vibe from another person. Because every time a warrior kind of runs into another warrior, they kind of be like, I know you're a skilled swordsman. I can just tell by the way you walk or the way you carry yourself type shit. So
I feel like that's the same too. Like when in athletics, like basketball and stuff, when you see people in the layup line, and even if somebody dunking in the layup line, it's like that dude's a bench warmer. Because why are you dunking in the layup line? Like you can just kind of tell. Like how people carry themselves. And then, you know, even before social media got big, you still heard of people. But then some people you can see like, he can ball just because how he or she carries himself. You can kind of sense that even in multiple sports, you can kind of tell.
For sure. Yeah. He just gives a guy a quick power level read. And it's just like, all right, you're more than meets the eye. And so he turns down the offer and he's just like, no, I don't really think so. I think the guy even mentions that he used to be part of the Itoryu, but left. Yeah. And
is he still a part of it?
He says he is, but he's going, but he's going after Kagiso.
Yeah.
Because it's, well, we'll get there, because he turns down the offer. And as the monk is walking away, he turns around and stabs Manji, and Manji runs him through with his sword. And he's just like, yo, like, you knew I was an immortal guy. Like, why are you coming after me with a dagger, thinking he killed the guy just like that? But as he's, you know, pulling the dagger out, brushing himself off, the dude stands up behind him. And turns out this guy is also another, has another mortal body with the bloodworms. And
which I appreciate it, because I'm like, okay, here's some type of substance in the story.
So I was so excited for this guy.
Exactly. Dude. I'm like, okay, this is a person that's just as immortal as him. He's about to be this big antagonist. This is
about to be lit. Yeah, like, that's all. Just like, so hard. It's about to go down. Let's go. Let's go.
But he explains to Manji, like, yeah, I met that old spirit woman too, 200 years ago. So this guy's been around way longer, which is how he's racked up all those additional bodies. And he's just like, listen, I've seen
5 wives and multiple kids.
Yeah, just all die right in front of my eyes. And, you know, that same thing will happen to Kagiso, and eventually the Itoryu will go down. So that's why he wants to take him down. He wants somebody like himself or Manji to lead the Itoryu, so their, you know, style can survive and somebody can really push it forward.
So one thing I had is just a question. I always thought about this with immortality. Do, when they say you don't age, do they stop the clock, like, right where you're at? Or, like... like, how has it been in fiction usually with immortality? Is it like from that age you are, like, so if I got it right now, I don't get older at all. I just stayed at this age.
That's normally how immortality has worked. Yeah. I guess. Yeah.
Everything. Fantasy. Okay. I just want to make, cause it's like, you talk about Dragon Ball Z with the Saiyans and stuff, like, they can grow beards, but they don't get, like, older. But they grew, though. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like...
Yeah. Mm. Well, even look at the kid on Cowboy Bebop. Exactly. You know, like, when that gate exploded or whatever, he stayed a little kid forever. So it usually seems to be, like, whenever you get the immortality power, you stay that age, like, for good. So that's what he's explaining to Manji, what he wants to do. And Manji obviously isn't buying into that. You know, he's kind of on his own road. He's helping out Rin. And the guy's just like, well, you're basically going to find out nothing lasts forever tonight, and walks away. And that's when Manji realizes the wound that he'd given him didn't close up. So something is wrong.
That's weird.
Yeah. Cut to that night, and all of his old wounds are, like, opening up. His fucking leg is falling off. Man. His face is bleeding. He's coughing up blood. And Rin is, like, freaking out. Just like, what the hell is going on?
I think that was crazy. For me personally, I've actually, one thing that I say I like at the gates since the anime first started, was, to me, I like the animation style. I feel like it's kind of like a movie style. So I like the lighting of it. I like the way they're doing things. I know Brennan's not having any of it. I'm just saying. That's one thing.
I'll give compliments where they come. Like, this scene was really intense, and I think it was well drawn. I think that the editing of this show needs a lot of work. Like, a lot of the transitions were rough. But I'll talk about that towards the end. But I also found something really interesting about this, this scene, actually, is what Rob was just saying, is, like, all his old wounds were opening up. But that, for me, kind of, like, goes counter against the logic of what bloodworms are.
Yeah.
From what I understood bloodworms to do is, like, they repair things. They're not physically the things that are holding you together. They repair it and allow your body to, you know, deal with it. So it's like when his leg got put back together, those aren't bloodworms that are holding his leg together. The bloodworms allow the leg to heal itself quickly and then allow the leg to be a leg. So for me, it doesn't make sense that if the bloodworms are dying from this poison, that his leg would just fall back off, because it's already been healed. And it's all his wounds wouldn't open back up because it's already been healed. You know what I'm saying? Nah. Like, this.
Well, I think you got to look at it like this. We don't know when wounds were happening to him, when these things. He has a lot of scars from previous stuff beforehand, obviously, because they're not healed. His eyes not healed. Scars on his body's not healed. We don't know when his leg might have got...
Well, we saw when his leg got cut off. That happened in the second episode.
He also got it cut off in the opening. So it could be kind of like the immortal thing. Like, that was the wound he had when he got it. Remember, he shows up to that old lady with, like, his fucking leg tucked into his gi. And she's like... You know, here's the bloodworms or whatever. So, and these may be the wounds he had. I forget exactly, but they may be the wounds that he had when he was defending his sister.
He didn't.
I was making a point.
Brennan didn't care.
I was asking a question. It just didn't make sense to me. He made it make sense. Why you got to be so aggressive about it?
Because he earned your sign with ice today.
Yeah, he's defending his pick. Let him be.
I'm not defending my pick. You'll see at the end.
So Rin is just like, okay, obviously this is some sort of poison that's going against the bloodworms. Here, check this shit out. It turns out she's got like the secret compartment, the ring on her hair where she's got some, like, fish pellets that are anti-poison or something like that. He's like, those aren't going to work.
Doo-doo. He's a
little doo-doo beads.
Yeah, he's just like with these like little booger pills or whatever she gives him. I thought that was pretty funny. But she makes him eat those and is just like, let me go get a doctor. And he's just like, no, don't go out there. That's totally playing into this guy's hand. But she's out the door and gone. Of course, she gets to the doctor's office and finds out it's like, what, 3 in the morning? Yeah, it's 3 in the morning. The doctor's office fucking closed. Like, it's late. But while she's there, the old woman that she saw in the graveyard, the Gabe Manji and this other, the monk, the immortal powers, shows up behind her. And she's like, yo, take me to Manji. Let's go right now. If this monk guy is involved, like, you're in big trouble. Let's go. We cut back to Manji at that point, kind of expecting her to show up. But as his wounds are healing, the antitoxin did work. And he's realizing, like, oh, hey, somebody's here. He shouts out to Rin. Hey, I told you, like, doctor's going to be closed. He opens up the door, and it's not – Rin's not there, but her clothing is. And along with a note from the monk saying, like, hey, this is where you can find me. And he's just like, you know, great. This is exactly what I said was going to happen. Back with the monk, Rin is tied up. Turns out the old spirit woman was just a regular old woman in disguise. Turns out the monk had kidnapped her grandchild. It was like, hey, you're going to go find this. You're going to go find these people and trick them into come following
me here.
Because
I want to see the old lady. I want to see her do some magic. I want to learn more about her. And they just like, yeah, here she is. Just playing. Nope.
Wait, whoa, Brennan, we got 24 episodes.
Yeah, and so far, 8 of them are trash. But I'm sorry. Please continue, Rob.
So he's explaining to her, like,
all right, I squared over here.
Yeah, right. So she finds out that this is just a regular old woman trying to spare the life of her grandchild. And he explains the poison to Rin as she's on the ground, just like how, you know, it kills the bloodworms, it targets the bloodworms. And as far as he knew, there was no antidote. But I guess whatever the Asano clan's booger pills are work as an antidote for these worms, for this worm killing poison.
Because
in 200 years, they never had an antidote.
But she has.
But she happened to have the antidote that was a family heirloom. Like,
it's in her earrings, bro. Like, it's fine. It's good. No,
it's all good. Holes there. So as she's contemplating this, he leaves her there. We're not sure where he's headed, but he's not gone long and comes back with blood on his sword. Turns out he says he killed the old lady and the baby as they were running away, which just devastates Rin because this guy's a complete monster. And he explains that, you know, once again, he's been alive for 200 years. He's seen all these things kind of come and go. Like, basically, we're all worm food, and that's just what he's trying to return people to be food.
He gives his story to her pretty much about his wife and his kids and stuff like that. You know, he goes, and then he ends up going up to her and, like, slicing her tongue, which is, like, I cringe. I watched it twice. I cringe with that shit. And then pretty much slices his own hand open and is like, yo, if you want immortality, come get a taste of this, which is just fucking disgusting.
That's gross.
Fucking nasty as hell. She's like, she about to do it, too.
Brennan, why are you shaking your head, man?
I hated that scene.
Yeah, because
it's rough. It's rough to look at. It
was. And he's explained to her, hey, like, if you want your revenge, getting an immortal body to kill this guy, Kagisa, that's going to be a big thing in your favor. Like, you can't just rely on Manji this whole time. This will allow you to get your revenge. And so she's going to take it. She is literally on her way to lapping up this blood and getting these bloodworms when Manji shows up in the door and just like right before she makes contact and stops it from happening. And then the guy's immediately like, well, shit wouldn't have worked anyway. Like, if I could just pass the bloodworms along like that, don't you think I would have given it to my wife and children? Like, all I wanted is, you know, somebody to spend my life with. And that's when Manji's just like, well, I'm not here to be your wife. And he tells the old...
I thought that was hilarious.
That was pretty tight.
That was pretty quick. But he's just like, listen, the old lady's dead, but that baby's still down there. Rin, like, go get it. And it's about to be on between these two immortal killers. And I think we're about to see a big fight scene. Except, instead, well, we get Rin going to get the baby. And when she comes back, the monk and Manji have already, like, impaled each other, like, 5 or 6 times. Their fight's already underway.
The way he's standing on top of him was like, I thought that was like crazy, but it's like, I wanted to see how it got to that point.
Right. So did I.
He got like, he has like 9 knives sticking into his body. It's just like,
so I just want to point out, like, I just want to take a moment, guys. Like, they're telling us in this one episode, how many absolutes did they give us that were destroyed? They're like, this is an absolute poison that kills these worms, which for me, if like these worms are dead and they were killed, they no longer can come back. But for some reason, an antidote that was in her earring saved them. So that absolute of 200 plus years is now
slowed it down. Didn't stop it though. Slowed it. It was an antidote that she has to stop poisons. So
I get that, but I'm just saying like.
He came back healed regardless.
Yeah, he came back 100%. Like his leg was reattached. He's walking around. He ain't coughing up blood.
Maybe like 90%.
My point being is it gets him there. Maybe not right away, but it gets him back to 100, sure. Right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. He shouldn't have got that far. It shouldn't have been that quick for sure.
Yeah. All right. So there's one absolute taken care of. A second absolute. We have two immortal men getting into a fight. I'm not going to get to the end of the episode, but I hate it. But all I'll say is that this part right here was one of the biggest missed opportunities for one of the dopest sword fights that could have ever happened. Because you have two people that can slice each other up, reattach their limbs in mid-fight.
That could have been
one guy has like 11 fucking different types of swords that we've only seen a few be used so far.
They could have been slicing each other, putting their shit back together, slicing, like...
Can you imagine, like, he...
Taking somebody else's arm,
he cuts his own arm off. Yeah. He cuts his own arm off to trick him and grabs the other side of it and swings it. Like, there's so many possibilities of an immortal fight here. And what we got to see was two men laying on top of each other with swords inside of each other. That's what we got to see.
It was like, we still got 16
He's like, you want my sword inside of you? Yeah, bro, only if you put your sword inside of me. Yeah. We know it's not going to kill each other, but let's stab each other in the stomachs. Okay, cool.
I will say this. I'm going to go back to the original anime and watch, I guess the equivalent of this episode. I'm going to try to find it anyways. And see if they showed the fight there. If they don't, it's just like, y'all missed it twice? That's fucking horrible.
Yeah. You just want to be disappointed twice.
Yeah. We're so going. as they pull out their swords from that embrace, that's when we realize that Manji isn't back to 100% at this point. He's still coughing up some blood. And that's when the monk is just like, yeah, I told you, like, you're going to find out tonight. Not everything's forever. And he like puts a fresh dose of poison on the sword and is ready to go again. When Rin shows up behind him, is just like, you think you're so much better than all these people. Like, you're just a worm yourself. Launches her little golden glitter bug attack with her knives and hits him in the shoulder. Not poisoned still. Still not poisoned. And he hits her and he's just immediately like, you know, what do you think that was going to do? You know, let me finish this job with Manji. I'll come finish you in a second. Turns around, Manji's gone. Turns out he's right above him. Comes down and like slices and dices him up.
Woo.
And then pins like his just like severed like V-neck portion like to the tree. You know.
Cutting on to a nice little V-neck H&M shirt.
So
that shit was trash because they just did the easy animation and put him on just, the tree.
Psh, psh, psh. Yeah, that like that quick cut, and he's pinned to the tree. And Mudgy's just like, "Hey, man, like you could have countered that. Why did you take that? Like you had this whole goal to do all these different things, take me out. Like what happened?" And he just cops out, kind of just like, "Well, you know what Rin said was right. I kind of am an asshole. So you know maybe it's time for." Well, you know, me to I die. Say, and... like,
he said a few quotes to me that I thought was
go like, ahead, go for it.
The whole being immortal. He said, "Death is unforgiving, yet being unable to die is even more cruel." And I was like, I felt like that was like some that's pretty deep for like the circumstances are. Because I feel like Manji's too. I feel like he wants to die, but he's kind of like, I kind of don't want to die, but it's like I understand like that death is on my doorstep, and I mean not on my doorstep, but like I want to die, and this dude wanted to die. I think he took the opportunity, and I think there's a last quote by Rin, or some. I think she asks him, Manji, at the end. She says, "Between dying without reaching your goals or living forever and learning you can't reach your goals, what's more tragic?" And I was like, I thought that was pretty deep.
I am so excited that I'm going to make sure I watch every anime before I recommend it, so I don't have to sound like Keenan right now.
Yeah, he was out there.
No, this is not reaching. Here's the thing for me, this particular episode. Everything about this episode to me was getting dope.
But how is that deep? Nobody could ever experience this. We're talking about immortality. It's like, not being able to die is really tough. It's like, I can relate to that. That's a life lesson for me.
Let me tell you something, Brandon. There's two ends of the spectrum. You're saying, at least I feel like I'm very more real than you are. I'm being more realistic in the sense of like, I understand that what I'm watching is not that good right now. You have it that is so trash that you can't even comprehend nothing anymore. You've literally turned an eyes. So it's like, at least I right now is being like, all right, yeah, this is trash, but like, all right, whatever. you were just like, you're a very intelligent person. You're like, I can't even, I don't understand this. You call me about a scene. This is like the second time you hear me about a scene that's understandable.
I appreciate that you think I'm intelligent. Like that's your opinion. Doesn't mean that I am.
Well, like, now I know you're not. So,
well, to be fair, no, Keenan, I agree that there's definitely some interesting stuff to think about there. It did remind me a lot of, you know, we've been talking about Watchmen a lot recently, but it reminded me kind of a Dr. Manhattan, the idea that he's this immortal being that doesn't age or change, and how that changes your relationship with the people around you when, like, you see so many people come and go. What does life end up meaning to you at some point? Like when you're immortal.
Right, so my question was, it's not about actually people. It was in the context of the anime. One and two. My question was part of that was like, if you were immortal, how would you feel? Like, what would you do? Would you live life as a bachelor, smash as many women all the time? Would you be like, yo, man, fucking, I'd rather die than be alive for like 5 lifetimes.
I would have so many. I would be Genghis Khan. Like, I would have so many kids. Like, it would be just. Because like him, he said he had like 5 wives or whatever. But yeah, it'd probably be the same thing. Like, I had his wife, this family, and then I move on to another one.
He could have 5 wives in 1 lifetime. That's a little low.
Especially back then. Like, you can go to the next village, and they may never meet. I don't know.
Exactly. What about you, Ice?
I'm not doing 5 wives, first and foremost.
You're not getting wives.
This is true. I'm gonna have kids, I'm gonna make a legacy. A part of me wants to do criminal shit, but then it's just like, no, because I can just be in jail for a long time, and that would suck. I think it would be funny, though, I wouldn't want to experience it, but to be in jail and then get like a 100-year sentence and come out just like, all right, gotcha. Y'all thought that was...
I'm out of here, y'all.
I still got 100 more years. Like,
that'll be hilarious because everybody that sentenced you to 100 years, they're dead. That's what's funny. They're going to be like, oh, well, where so-and-so at? Oh, they're dead? Oh, sorry to hear that.
Right.
And you're still young. You're still 27, 28.
I'm just out here alive and well after 100 years. So I think I would like take risk and do like bank robberies or do like crazy stuff. Not killing nobody, but like crazy like stuff that can give me money. And then if I get in jail time, it's just like, and I'll just try to escape because I'm not going to die. Like, I can walk, I can go through barbed wire. I can get electrocuted. Like, you can shoot me. I'm going to try, like, just to do crazy shit.
Rob?
Man, I think I'd probably just travel. I'd see, like, every inch of the planet. You know what I mean? I'd probably just maybe even walk everywhere because, like, I don't got to worry about food. Just like Ice is saying, like, I can't get cut up. I can walk anywhere I want, climb Everest, you know, just see every part of the planet because now I don't have to worry about time. Like, just take off. Just do whatever. See anything. I'm sure I'd probably have some times where, you know, I'd want to do some, like, some crazy shit just because I could.
Just skydive with no parachute.
Yeah.
I would definitely jump out of just, like, an airplane, like, and just fall face first to the earth.
Like some Deadpool shit.
Just explode and be like, come back together.
That would fuck that skydiving teacher up for life. Like, they would fuck up for life.
That would be no good.
Good. That would be my thing. I feel like that's what I would do. I would do what Rob said. I would probably travel every inch of the earth. And then along that journey, I would like blow my own brains out in front of people and
do trauma.
You guys want to see something cool?
And then hold on. And now you're just that, like, to blow my brains out in front of people and then come to work the next day. Like, you're like, yo, you see what Kenan did? And then come back to work. Hey, man, just locking in.
Yo, man.
Fuck.
Man, if you blew your brains out in front of your coworkers and they still had like the office open the next day, I'd be concerned. Like, I would hope they give people like a week off or something. Yeah,
they need something from that.
Nah, I worked at, I won't say this place I worked at, but I worked there and somebody literally got ran over by a high speed chase and they didn't even put together a fucking a fund for his family to bury his ass. So that's when I hated that.
You say you don't want to say who it is? Because they're garbage.
I didn't want to say who it is. I mean, you might know who it is because you know who I used to work for, but
context clues. Just go back in the older episodes. You can probably find it. It's a mystery for you during this quarantine. Yeah. So the next episode.
Well represented right now.
At the next episode, they seem to be in a bigger village. There's a festival going on. Rin is out at this food food stand, and she's getting some food. Well, she's about to when this kid cuts in front of her and just like buys up a bunch of stuff.
Shit.
And she's like, "Hey, what the hell? Like, been standing here in line." He's like, "You know, whatever. Like, I didn't buy him out. He still got more. Like, it's good stuff. Like, what? Chill out." And takes off. Meanwhile, Manji is watching this guy making masks, like talking to these kids. And these two kids both want the same mask. There's a boy and a girl. The guy's kind of just like, "Hey, listen, you know, it's going to only go to one of you, like, little boy, like, you got to make the right decision, right?" And the little guy finally makes the right choice. Terrible choice on his haircut. This guy had, like, some weird, like,
hated it. When I don't clean, before, when this quarantine was getting reckless, and I was just like, "I ain't going to shave my head." I had the black version of that. I had a little puff right here. And that George Jefferson was coming right here.
George Jefferson. That deluxe apartment.
That cul-de-sac, man. Make that roundabout. Man.
We gotta do a, I don't know if I said this before, but we got to do a bet to where, like, if you lose, you got to grow your hair out.
Oh, like Shaq did or whatever?
I
got shit I got to do, man.
It's his moneymaker right there. So as Manji's watching this guy make the mask, eventually the little kid, the little boy gives the girl the mask, and he's just like, you made the right choice. Like, here, I'll even give you this other mask for free. Kid doesn't like it. He sees Manji standing over there with his sword. He's like, "Hey, man, like, you mind if I get that for a second?" And then with, like, a lot of skill, like, you know, carves at the mask, cuts his thumb. Like,
but that shit is sick. I don't want that. I don't want your fucking bloody mask.
What, certainly not in 2020. Right. Goddamn.
Not even just bloody mass. He cut his sword knowing that this dude's sword has been through some shit. I'm just like, "I'm going to do this. I'm going to lick my finger afterwards and shit." It's like, bro, something.
That's so much hepatitis. That was just a bunch of hepatitis.
I know AIDS was invented in the 80s. You got something, motherfucker.
You didn't do a drop. You made a whole design, and then what messed me up, he lifted the mask up, and it was all red underneath the mask. I'm like, you should be unconscious right now. Like, that's a lot of fucking blood. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, and I like the kid, too. He gets the mask, he looks at it, he's like, "Yeah, thanks." Like, just takes off. Like, what the fuck is this? If I knew this is how the mask was made, I probably wouldn't have wanted it in the first place.
Yeah.
Me think, like, is that stuff? No way, it can't really be made like that. Like,
I don't think it's made like that, but I think that's the type of guy he was. You know, we start getting more into the episode, but I think some people do weird shit like that. They're like, "All right, I'm an artist. I paint with just blood, or I do things with just chalk."
He's
like,
"Yo, nah, did y'all hear? Wait, did y'all hear about the woman who bought like hundreds of pairs of like PPE stuff, like personal protection equipment?" She has like a bunch of like face masks and like gloves and stuff like that, like hundreds and hundreds. And her local hospital is like struggling. Like, nurses and doctors are like dropping off. And she's just like, "I'm not giving them any of this. It's not my responsibility to give them this. I have to use this to create my artwork." And so she just literally is using these things and like painting on them and then putting them on a canvas and then putting them out.
What a great use of resources.
Right, it is the worst art you've ever seen. Let me pull up this artwork. I can't.
Some people just want to see the world, but I think, if you moving like that, you need to keep quiet. The fact that you outreaching, but fuck them. On top of that, like,
well, we live in a society now, in our society, that good and bad. No, it's always been that way, but good and bad pub is pub. So at the end of the day, she's like, whether she's famous or infamous, it doesn't matter. Like, she got. Brennan knows who the fuck she. I didn't know who she was until Brennan said something. But now we're about to know who she is because he's about to pull her shit up.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I'll go grab. I mean, I can't believe the level of selfishness that this human being.
She needs that's terrible.
Don't give her the clicks, Brennan. Don't give her the clicks.
That's how I am. Yeah. That's how I am. When I know it's something that I don't like, and I watch it the first time, I'm like, "All right, I ain't passing this along. I'm not. Nah, you don't get nothing from me."
Don't give him the clicks. So the kid does walk off with his weird bloody mask. And the artist turns to Manji, just like, "Hey, like, you know, thanks for letting me use the blade." They kind of have like a weird, like, again, like, he's reading some power level from this guy. They kind of like, you know, stare each other down for a second, but the guy's son shows up. It's the same one that cut in front of Rin at the stand, and it's just like, hey, Dad, like, let's go home. And so they kind of, he just gives Manji back his sword, and they kind of go their separate ways. And as Manji turns around, he sees Rin standing there. Clearly, she recognizes this guy. Clearly, he must be connected to the Iduryu. And then Rin has a memory of, we get a flashback here of her thinking back to when she was at this this festival with her family, and we get to see her grandfather for the first time. And we get a little explanation here where he kind of says to her at the time offhand, of course, this all comes around later, but he's just like, listen, if anything ever happens to me, like some old grudge, like comes around, that's because of me and my father, like let that shit go. Like that doesn't have anything to do with you. Like, I don't want you to have like a life that's consumed by vengeance. And clearly this is weighing heavily on her, as that's exactly what her life has become, is a life filled with vengeance because of her grandfather's old blood feud shit. So she's thinking about this, and while she's walking around the city, and she runs into that little kid again, the artist's son, who has apparently bumped into a samurai, scuffed his sandals, broke the strap, and the samurai is about to cut this kid down, it looks like, until Rin jumps in front of him. It's just like,
sandal dog?
Yeah. Come on, yeah, man. But he's just like,
that was so whack.
Yeah, this guy was a piece of trash, and she's just like down on all fours, just like, you know, forgive my brother, like he doesn't know what he's doing, you know. And he's impressed with her at first, and it's just like, how'd you know all this etiquette? And she tells him where she's from. He knows that her family's dead, and basically takes advantage of that. Like, it's just like, you know, basically you're you're homeless now, you have no honor, like how about you fucking fix this sandal for me? And while he, you know, does some lewd shit with his foot while she's working on it. He
sticks his foot between her legs. Wow.
Yeah. Gross.
What pleasure gross. Do you get from that? Like, I don't even say, like, oh, I put my foot between her legs. Oh, like,
I don't think that was a pleasure thing. I think that was a power thing.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, like, what are you going to do about it? But he's a piece of trash. She fixes it up, and he takes it, and he just laughs it off as he walks away, thinking, you know, he just got the better of that situation. When Rin turns around and starts to talk to the kid about the Iduryu, and is kind of asking some questions because she recognizes Dad, and he's just like, I don't even know what that is. And that immediately takes her back, like, oh shit, like his dad has changed at least a little bit, to the point where he's tried to separate his son from this life that he used to lead. And she's like, you know, like, maybe I'd like to meet. He basically invites her back to the house to, you know, let me thank you. And he introduces her to his dad. And, you know, they're sitting down, and they're the artist and Rin are having a conversation, and they get left alone while the kid goes to get some tea. And he's thanking her, and she's just like, you know, listen, you remind me of my dad. Would you mind if I told you a story? And tells him of the night that her parents were killed. And basically says, like, I remember you. Like, you were the one that basically had my mother raped. You know,
raped her.
Yeah.
He was terrible. Like, well, I will say, I think this guy's actually probably my new favorite. Him and the main bad guy, my favorite characters from this anime so far. Dude with the mask. Like I said, I forgot his name. But he kind of steps in and is like, bro, what are you doing? Like, there's no honor in doing this to a woman that's, he kind of, I think he says, like, kill yourself. He wouldn't do that.
Yeah, he throws a dagger to the wife. Yeah.
And the dude's like, and this is where I thought the dude was cool. And he was just like, yo, man, he told dudes like, what, you gay or something, bro? You don't mess with women or something, man.
He's like, no, he ain't gonna do this. And the dude,
yeah, he's like, what you talking about? He's like, that's why your wife left your ass. Right. That was a cold line. That's why your punk ass, where your wife left your punk ass.
That's why he tried to and hit then, him too. It's like, make you.
Yeah. and then pretty much the dude does some crazy stuff, kisses up on her, grabs up on her, fondles her, and slices like, her, and then
uses her own blood to like paint a mask on her.
Paint on her. Did you? And on her body was just like.
Did you guys, I don't know if I just went away for a second. Did you guys say about him saying that, like, oh, what happened to your parents?
Yeah, a little bit. I didn't explain that, you know, he said that, you know, he used to wield the sword, but he stopped because his wife had left and with their child. And eventually the wife died, and now the child's his responsibility. And so because he's raising his child, he's put the sword away. And that's when Rin was like, yo, let me tell you about the story.
So what happened to you? Are your parents still alive, or how are your parents? I was like, yo, that's fucked up. And because he knew.
You think he recognized her?
Yeah, he was just like,
I don't know if he knew yet. I think he put it together. I don't know if he knew yet.
Well, like, certainly he did by the end of the story because like,
you know, he might have, but I'm saying I don't know if he knew.
Because he's at the end of the story, he's just like, all right, yeah, that was me. Like, what do you want me to do? Apologize? And she's like, I mean, yeah. I fucking do. She's like, I could kill you. Like, I'm here to, but I'm not going to do that because I've seen you've tried to take a different path. Like, you've tried to protect your son from this, and I don't want him to end up like me. She's having this crisis of conscience where she's just like, kind of like the Kill Bill thing where, like, if you pass on the circle of violence, like, you know, when he kills Vivica Fox at the beginning of the movie and, like, her daughter shows up, she's just like, hey, you feel bad about this.
That's still one of the most gangster moments in media.
But yeah. I will say this. I'm not sure if I'm with her morals right now. Because the dude says it. The dude goes, like, he's like, are you serious right now? Like, you do, like, the only way you can... like, when you take a life, you have to give a life. So he's telling her, like, look, you want me to apologize and not gonna kill me? What the fuck are you talking about? That's not how shit works.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, that's just what I want. Do it. Bow. He's just like, sure. All right.
Yeah.
And he goes to apologize and bow. And
but it turns out it's a sneak attack and immediately launches into it, like, kicks her across the dojo or the art room, and, like, it's right on top of her. It's about to choke her out. And he's
I will say this.
Go for it.
He does not care about his art like her teeth, like the other dude did.
Not at all.
He loved his art, like, shit.
Yeah, that was funny.
He don't care about the mask like that.
Yeah, but while he's choking her out, he's drawing the death mask on her just like he did the mom all those years earlier. When he hears something downstairs, she's passed out. He's like, all right, well, I can finish this in a second. Maybe my kid's home, because he sent his kid, like, way off to go get tea from, you know, the next fucking town over so he could get this time to, you know, get this shit done. And he goes downstairs, you know, maybe check to see if his kid's back. Turns out nobody's down there. But when he gets upstairs, Manji's already there holding Rin, and is just like, all right, like, you know, it's about to go down. And the two of them clash and they're fighting. And it's kind of more of the same. You know, Manji gets hit a few times. He ends up getting a few hits in, but he stabs him and it's done for the artist. Like, Manji ends up getting the upper hand and this guy's mortally wounded.
But he was whooping Manji's ass before
that. Yeah, he was whooping Manji's ass.
Whooping Manji's ass.
But like I said, the same kind of shit. But he ends up getting that mortal wound because he can't be killed. Not because he was good, just because, you know, he's the bargain bin Wolverine.
I've never seen such a mediocre at best protagonist in my entire life.
But the guy does end up, you know, he's bleeding out, and he says to Rin, like, hey, this is your chance, like, get your revenge, get this over with, this is your kill. And Manji's even just like, yeah, like, you want this, is your revenge, it's time. And that's when the son shows up back from his trip to the store.
She goes I can't really kill him, I can't.
Yeah, she doesn't want to.
I want to do. And Manji's just like, well, cool. Goes, starts walking up to him like,
yeah, I thought he killed him in front of the kid. Or is that when they kill him and then the kid, they turn around and the kid is there?
Yeah,
the
kid's there. Yeah, yeah.
And Manji's immediately like, oh, I guess I got to kill this kid too. And, like, you know,
I thought it was a cool scene because, well, I thought it was, like, cool how the way they did the lighting when he killed the dude. It was dim and then the light kind of, like, brightens up as the kid walks in, mm-hmm. and then the kid sees it and then, you know, grabs a little, I don't know, staff or something. And I mean, for me, I don't know what y'all really thought of it, but I thought Manji let it happen, but
definitely let it happen. He did it for her. He was just like, you want to end this cycle here? Let this guy kill me. It's not going to kill me.
I honestly thought Brennan's going to be like, because Brennan's been on some, like, I just don't understand things. I thought Brennan's going to be like, he can't even beat a kid. That's what I thought Brennan's going to say. So
I think he did it on purpose because he wanted to honor what she wanted.
But he also has to kill 100 or 1,000 evil souls or whatever.
Evil
people. Exactly. So if he kills this kid, that's going to add another 1,000 to that fucking tab or something, probably, you know? So
something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think killing him would have done anything for him or her. So, yeah, I think you're probably right. He let that happen, and the kid runs off. And, you know, a few days later, Rin sees the kid praying at his dad's grave, and the kid is just like, clearly doesn't know how Rin factored into this. And he just tells her, listen, when I went to go back to get my dad a few days later, that guy's body was gone. So I'm about to leave town. This is what I got to do. I got to go get vengeance for my dad. And that's when, you know, she's desperate for him to not, again, still, she doesn't want him to be like her. She wants him to be able to live his life. And she says, no, I went back and I buried him. I'll show you where I put the body. And she shows him this patch of dirt with an arm sticking out. And the kid just, you know, cries, probably, you know, because it's a mix of emotions, probably relief, but also pain that he didn't get to do that. Yeah, but, well, I guess he did eventually. He still thinks he killed him, I guess, based off of that. Yeah. So,
you know, there's another emotion that could have happened there too, though.
What's that?
The kid's gonna be like, so wait. You went back to that dojo before I got there, and you took this motherfucker's body, the guy that killed my dad's body, to go give him a proper burial. You left my fucking dad there.
It's not her dad.
That was not her dad too. That was her homie. So
yeah.
So but then why is he cool with her? You know what I'm saying? Like, why is the kid cool with the girl?
To me that she didn't really he's have cool. smoke
he's cool.
with him. Like,
he's cool with her dad. Because he saved his life. She saved his life.
But still, you got my daddy killed.
But she doesn't know that he did that. No, that he doesn't. He doesn't know that.
No, he doesn't seem to know that she's involved. It seems like he thinks she was just there when it happened.
And that's my whole point. If he doesn't think they have a relationship.
Yeah, you got to put some shit together.
That's all I'm saying. If you don't think they had a relationship. She showed up to that dojo to bury the one body that she didn't know because she got to meet this man in his house.
Hey, Brennan.
She was like, got hospitality.
Hey, Brennan, season two, he's going to come back.
Yeah. Season two.
That's going to be one of them things where he's just chilling, telling somebody about how his dad died. He's going to be like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, oh, oh, my God.
What was that girl's name again?
We say okey-doke me, yo.
Well, he's going to be telling somebody the story, and they're going to be sitting there like, wait, it was a
woman?
So
why did she get that like, one body?
You dumbass. Like, oh, my God.
But he's at least got closure for now and goes off to live his life. And she takes the arm out of the dirt and goes back to Manji. He cut it off just so he could, you know, that portion, it was definitely for Rin so that she could help to get that kid to get closure. And she thanks him and gives him his arm back and they reattach and move on to the next episode. So this next episode starts off...
Yeah, go ahead. This one right here. Let's do this one.
So this one starts off with,
is the one I texted you about, Keenan. I was like, what the fuck happened in this episode? But go ahead.
You mixed episode 7 and 8 together.
No, I didn't. I hadn't seen episode 8 yet. I texted you after I finished watching episode 7.
You texted me as well. I helped you suss it out a little bit, but, so the
episode should have been texting Ice. I apologize, Ice.
You didn't text me. I was just about to say that.
Oh. But so Rin is sitting by some water. The cold open on this show or on this particular episode is Rin sitting by the water, and there's a little like wild dog, seems to be friendly enough, comes over and sits by her, and she gives it a pet. That'll come back later. Then they go from there to
it will.
A couple of guys on the road, like, you know, some old school taxi drivers, basically some dudes like carrying this little, you know, rickshaw thing on their shoulders. And they've got, what's the guy's name? Taito, who we met earlier from his fight with Manji in the swamp.
Guy right here.
And he's being carried to the Ito Ryo dojo, when he's just realizing like, hey, these guys aren't talking. It's really quiet out there. Like, you know, you guys all good? And they put him down and answer him with like sticking some swords through the basket, or just like, well, I mean, you can be a strong swordsman, but you know, hey, they poison you, they sneak attack you. There's no way people can expect that. But turns out this guy's definitely better than they took him for, because when they go to check on the body, he's waiting for him and springs out, dices one dude up real quick, gets the other guy, stabs him through, and it's just like, hey, like, that's not a mortal wound. I can get you to a doctor, but you got to tell me who sent you. And the guy only gets out.
I like this scene.
He only got a little bit of a name out, the name Kagi, when he does die. And he's just like, well, shit, like, I guess it was a worse wound than
I
thought.
Yes, that was a vital organ. I like that. That was funny. I was just like, damn. I couldn't tell if he was serious or not in that moment. Or just like, oh, shit, I honestly didn't think I did that to you. Like, I couldn't tell if he was being serious or not.
He's definitely... I think somewhat of a bright spot in this, but I still think he's not getting enough.
I fully agree with you, Keenan. I like this character.
Same, yeah. So he since his ride is gone, he walks the rest of the way to his destination. He, as he walks in, he sees some official looking dude walking out of there at the same time. And he meets up with Kagisa, and he's just like, you know, who is that? And he gets the explanation that, you know, this is basically a representative from the government. He came by to tell the Iruryu school that, hey, we want to make you guys legit. We want to bring you into the shogunate, like recognize you as an official dojo, and even name some of your guys as instructors, as part, as your style. Little do they know, while this is happening, those two people that got named instructors are getting cut down by a couple, by a pair of assassins. One guy on a beach, like all you see is this guy get his head chopped off. And they cut to this dude with some, you know, weird Morpheus style, like sunglasses. And he changed up the other guy and is just like, yo, like, tell me who the other instructors are for the Iruryu.
How many other instructors there are?
Yeah. And he tells him, well, there are no official instructors, but if you're talking about people that are second only second in skill to the leader, yeah, there's about 30 of us, which is the number that we had been given at the beginning of the show. The 30 people that showed up to the Asano Dojo to kill Rin's family. That's so it seems like
and then just to show up for two motherfuckers that ain't a threat like that.
That aren't supposed to be very strong, and that's why they're killing them.
I like this dude. I don't know why I like this dude. I don't know yet if he's going to be actually dope, but for some reason, I just thought he was dope. I like his, well, maybe because his weapon. His weapon's cool.
The weapon is pretty cool.
Because he's like, all right. Yeah. He's like, all right, let me go now. He's like, sorry about this. And then just cuts his head off. I'm on a side of bald dudes, too. So like, he has a bald character. You know, we don't be getting a lot of dope ass characters out here in these streets, man.
After we got One Punch Man, I was good. I was like, yo, ain't nobody fucking with him. We're good.
His power literally comes from his baldness. It's like a one to one connection. But in another area, the other person that had just been named an instructor is at, like, you know, some tea house or something like that, you know, getting a meal, and he's sipping on his tea, and all of a sudden turns out it's poisoned, and the girl that had been serving him, like, takes off the wig and is just like, you know, ah, you just got played. Turns out she had drunk some of the poison herself. And when she goes out to talk to, you know, the guy that she, the other assassin she came there with, she's telling him, yep, the job is done, but, you know, has to run over to the bushes to throw up into it because she'd had some of the poison herself.
Half a gallon? Oh,
yeah, she did a half a gallon of sesame oil first and then the poison.
Yeah.
Something
to
counteract it, I guess. Mm. But clearly she's devoted to her cause and the guy comments on that. So some other people are moving against the interview.
She was like, what the fuck would you mean devoted? And she's like,
yeah, that was weird. I don't know. What do you mean? So back at the Ryu school, Taito's like, all right, well, cool. Kagisa, like, that's really all you wanted. You wanted your style and your dojo to be officially recognized. Like, that is, so you're getting what you want. However, now you're going to be siding with the government. That means samurai. I don't really fuck with samurai. I hate samurai, so I'm out. But, you know,
their disdain for samurai is real. I wonder if that was a real thing during that time period.
Well, is he not ninjutsu, or is that just because they're just samurai?
I think,
you know, samurai and ninjutsu is like opposed, but what's up?
Yeah, they're definitely opposed. I think that's part of it, but like he seems to have some sort of distrust of the government, and samurai by nature, I believe it just like the way the structure works, they are like government warriors. So like, yeah, that's why people, I think, have strong feelings about them one way or another. Like, you like the government, you like what they're doing, do they help you? Then you probably love the samurai. But I'm sure, just as like there's good cops, there's bad cops, there's bad samurai and good samurai, and probably people that abuse their power. And clearly we've seen that already. And so there's plenty of people that have been oppressed or on the wrong side of what the samurai are doing. And sounds like this guy has some sort of axe to grind with them. It's just like, I can't go official. Like, I'm not signing up like to be a part of some like government, you know, police force. So I'm staying on my own. If that's the way the interview goes, I'm out of here. But, you know, he wishes him the best, no hard feelings. Even Kagisa, who I thought would kind of be against that, you know, somebody leaving the school, is kind of just like, all right, yeah, go your own way, man. Like, we're good.
And you say you can still use our little thing, the second floor of our little thing.
Yeah, yeah, you can stay up in the apartment, no problem. And Taito then goes to a brothel where he, you know, he's friends with a geisha there, and they're just talking. But it seems like it's not a physical relationship. He just seems to like her. It turns out because she reminds him of his old sister, another just guy who lost a sister. Yeah, because their height's the same. But sure, for her, it's different. Obviously, she's got a crush on this guy. You know, she talks about wanting to leave this behind. Like, hey, you know, I'm only doing this to keep my sick mom healthy. And the doctor says she's only got 2 years left. I could take all this money that I've been making, you know, buy a house. We could have something. And he's just like, you don't really want me around. Like I'm married to the sword. Like that's kind of my thing. Like it wouldn't be good, you know? And she's just like, you know, for somebody that hates the samurai, it's weird that you basically live the same life, you know, yeah. You know, you guys are kind of two sides of the same coin.
Cause he was dissing her for a while. Then she grabbed him and pulled him down.
Choke slam. Yeah, like choke
slam. It was like she in her eyes, I think she was saying, like, all right, I'm this womanly wife type chick, but then you must want somebody that's aggressive. And well, choked him out.
Did they have sex?
Yeah, but I don't know if they ended up having sex or not, because it's like they're laying there, but she's still in the same position that she was just trying to choke him out in.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think they did.
Okay. I just want to make sure, because I'm pretty
I watched it twice and I was just like,
I about to say that's definitely sure. rape. That's definitely rape.
Yeah, he was not willing. Yeah. She needed to get his yes, and she didn't get it.
True.
But no, I think they were just kind of talking, you know, chilling, talking about their future plans. And she says that she wants to buy a house someday. You know, ideally it would be with him, but clearly that's not what he wants. But as he's leaving, he's like, "Yeah, I don't know when I'll be back." She gives him a hairpin, and he's like, "All right, well, I'll come visit from time to time."
She's so excited.
Yeah. But her boss comes in, is just like, "Hey, we got a customer for you. You got to come downstairs." She's like, "You know, I'll be right there." Unfortunately, her happiness doesn't last long, because we cut to the next scene. The girl, the assassin that had drunk the poison, is waiting for her, you know, her cohort that she'd been out there with. And he shows back up. It's this dude with the sun on his kimono. And he's just like, "Yeah, you know, turns out the guy we were looking for just left town. Not really sure where he's headed to, but he might be back. You know, he was close with some, you know, some prostitute down at the local brothel. So, you know, we'll just keep an eye on that." And she notices that he's got some blood on his kimono. It's just like, "Well, did you kill somebody?" He's like, "She didn't want to talk, so I just had to do what I had to do." And he just leaves it at that. You know, we're here to do a job. And it turns out, and we cut to the next scene. We see Taito's girl that he just left. It was her, you know, she was the one that was bleeding out on the floor, and she's kind of looking at, you know, the glass vase that she had been playing with in the scene earlier.
He put the knife through the hands like this. She actually, before she died, she pulled up. She was able to reach
the glass. That was brutal.
That shit was brutal, bro.
That was cringy.
Some of these death scenes and these scenes in general have been kind of like a little too graphic for me.
Well, the thing is, that's a hard thing. That's a point that I have a really hard time with in the show, is that they spend a lot of time on these like scenes of someone dying or like suffering, but they don't spend a lot of time on the scenes of like what got them there. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like the actual stabbing or the killing or whatever. It's like, nah, we don't need to see any of that, or like the struggle or how it happened. It's just like, but we do need to see like the most fucked up part, like that part right there. That's what we'll show you. It's like the dying alone.
To be honest, we see enough of what this guy does in the next episode that I'm good. I don't need to see that. You know?
This guy is horrible, man.
He's a fucking monster. He's a piece of shit. But back at Manji's place, well, she dies, you know, calling out to Taito. So she dies, you know, thinking of him.
Everybody in this show dies, man.
Damn, yeah.
I guarantee you the Immortal Blade dies in the show. I'll put whatever
that.
You guys want to.
I said that. Remember I said in the first four. I said he's going to die then.
Oh, he's definitely going to die.
I don't think he's going to die.
Yeah, I think he will, personally. But back at his place, Rin and Manji are, you know, hanging out. And even for somebody that was just, you know, calling into question whether or not she wanted to pursue her vengeance last episode, whether or not, you know, a life of vengeance was even a path worth pursuing, she immediately stands up and is just like, "You know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to kill Kagisa. And I want you to train me to do it. I want you to, like, you know, don't take it easy on me." And Manji's just like, "All right, we can do that." And we don't even see much of the training, but we do see that she just got, you know, she got the brakes beat off of her. She's lying on the ground watching the butterflies fly off to the mountains.
One slipper hanging off. Just
yeah, like, you know, that internet meme, like your shoe came off, like you're dead. She's still just got one on, like, so she's still hanging on barely, but she's covered in bruises. And Manji's just like, "All right, like you cook up dinner. I'm going to go run into town, get us some corn to eat. I'll be back." And while she's cooking up dinner, she thinks Manji's returned fast, but turns out it's the other guy. It's the guy with the sun on his kimono, and he's looking for Manji. He's just like, who the fuck are you? I thought his sister was dead. And immediately, like, you know, launches into an attack and starts, like, asking her questions and is about to, like, take her out when Manji shows up and is just in the nick of time before he does anything too serious. And it cuts to them, I guess, no hard feelings. They're sitting around the dinner fire eating their food. And he's just like, listen, we're after the Itto Ryu too. We want to team up with you. So a similar offer that he got from the monk, but at least at this point, for whatever reason, they seem to be more willing to listen to this guy. It sounds like he's got a whole clan behind him. Obviously we've met some of them already. The dude with the circle weapon.
The Muga Ryu.
So they're after the Itto Ryu too, and they want to team up. And they're already, you know, it's for whatever reason they seem to be willing to listen and hear these guys out. But for sure, they're setting off some, like, giving him some weird vibes. The next morning, Rin wakes up to find that Manji's not there. Go ahead.
What's it called? They pretty much tell him, she's like, this is when they're with the whole group together, right?
No, that's in the next episode.
Okay, my bad.
This one was just one accident.
Wow.
But Rin woke up and the guy's outside with the sun kimono. He's outside, you know, eating some meat. And she's just like, oh, like, where's Manji? He's like, oh, he went into town to pick up some swords. He was having sharpened. Hey, I'm having some boar meat. I caught some boar this morning. You want some? And she's like, yeah, sure, I'll eat. And she's enjoying the meal, having a good time. And he's explaining to her, he's kind of talking about his whole philosophy about killing and death and just like, you know, why should I feel bad?
Because she asked, she was like, how do you do it? Like, how are you so good at what you do?
Oh, yeah. And he's like, I've been doing this since I was 16. You know, I've been killing people and killing things for money for a long time. So this is just second nature to me. And, you know, I'm not going to feel bad about being more powerful because that's kind of just how the world works. I forget exactly how it turns to it. But, you know, but he basically says, like, would you feel bad for that dog that you're eating right now? And basically points to the severed head of the wild dog that she was petting at the beginning of the episode. And she's, like, traumatized as this guy starts cackling.
He kicks the dog's head.
Kicks it over
against,
there.
Oh, my God. That's what did it in for me. It's one thing that you killed it, but then you play fucking kickball with his head.
Yeah. Where's PETA, man? Where's PETA?
Yeah, where is PETA?
Honestly, I was watching that, like, with, like, my jaw was open. I was like, oh, yeah, damn.
And it's funny, my mom came into the room when I was watching that part. She's like, what the hell are you watching? Like, what is this? And I'm like, I don't know, Brennan, this is crazy.
Brennan, what was your cutscene you talking about at? You saying it was cut between different things. It wasn't on this episode.
I think it was this. It was this episode.
It was all when the you know, they were talking about the shogunate showing up and then the assassinations of those guys that we had never seen before, but it turns out they were the instructors.
Cut between it, but then it would be like the cuts, like the thing is, like, there's a lot of different ways that you can do edits, especially when you're doing an animation. Like, you can be really creative and recreating scenes or frames or doing a lot of different ways of being able to transition between, like that article I sent you guys. And like what they do here is they go black frame, something new. And it's just like, that has nothing directly to do with what was there before. And I'm just like, that is the laziest editing technique I have ever seen.
And they do, like, little work to work back into it. It's not like a Tarantino or a Christopher Nolan type of thing where show you that and then work their way to it. It's just like,
black frame, new scene, black frame, new scene, black frame, new scene. Like, the scenes don't run together at all. That's like the most amateur cutting of all time. What?
That particular scene you're talking about didn't bother me, but there was an editing scene that's cut in this next episode that I was kind of like, what the hell?
Done better. This is the first time in my life ever watching anime where I'm thinking about the editor. Like, what are you doing?
And it's interesting, too. We know the show's capable of cool stuff.
Garbage.
Exactly, yeah.
We know this show is capable of doing cool transitions because there's that episode of The Artist when he cut off that dude's head and the blood splash immediately transitioned to the painting. That was dope.
That was amazing. Amazing editing.
That's two different people.
I guess they had the B team on this one. I don't know.
That's out of the team.
So the next episode, this starts off with the meeting that you were talking about, Kenan. It's, you know, got all the Mugai Ryu meeting up with Manji and Rin, and they're kind of explaining their situation. Because one thing that I forgot to mention in the monk episode is another piece of information he gives to Manji and Rin as he's dying on the tree is that Kagi says about to leave like their area. He's about to leave Edo. He's headed somewhere else. They only have like a few weeks to carry out this hit if it's going to happen. So they have to hustle, which is kind of why Rin is just like, you have to start training me much harder, because if I'm going to get there to where I'm going to kill this guy, it's got to happen fast. And that's what they're talking about around this table. Like, this guy's about, Kagi says about to try to sneak out of town. We don't know exactly how yet. We do have a guy on the inside. And he's telling us that he's going to try to dress up in some women's clothing and try to sneak out of town, basically cross-dressed. And so we have to figure out how and where and why he's going to do this.
He says, we got to get him before our, pretty much you can't go anywhere out of this town anyway, because you're pretty much like a murderer. They say it feel like you did a lot of crime. So he's like, I plan on getting him before that shit anyways.
Yeah, Manji's a wanted man. Yeah, Manji's a wanted man. Everybody, his face is all over the place. So travel is not really a great option for them. Manji is asks a good question. He's just like, so it was just the four of you guys were going to take on the entire school of Ito Ryu, and you thought just the two of us were going to like even the odds? Like, somebody must be supporting you. You must be getting money from somewhere. And they
is some really nice sake. This is a big ass house for a freaking Ronin house. Like, going on here?
Yeah, they don't give him any more information. These four are being paid to go after the Ito Ryu, but they don't divulge, it seems like, who it is that's paying them. But
super petty, but something that really bothered me with this is they were talking and then the lady said it is what it is. That shit made me mad, because it's like, bro, nobody's saying that in the fucking Edo period Japan. It is what it is. I was like, come on. Let's
read it. I don't know. And that might just be a translation that they put, but I don't know if that was necessarily how they said it in their language.
Yeah. It's like, it is what it is.
Even somebody said something in this earlier, and I think the first four, he said something about, it's just trash. Mm. Or something like that. They're not saying that either, so... I think it's just like how they translated it.
It's lit. And they just start saying
it. Yeah, it's just like, what?
Like, wait, what?
Yeah. So after their meeting, we cut to Taito showing back up at the brothel where his friend was. And they tell him, hey, like, some dude showed up and killed her. You can pay your respects here. And he's pissed at first. He's just like, why'd you leave her body down on the ground? And they're like, because we didn't know when the fuck you were going to come back. This is the coldest place. We didn't want you to come back to a rotting body. The reason she died is because somebody came here and was looking for you. If you want to start pointing the fingers, like, fucking point them at yourself. And she leaves him there and tells him never come back here. He's sitting there, you know, kind of taking in, you know, his one friend, maybe the one girl he ever could have seen himself with, is now dead, and it's because of him. So he's just got to live with that. Back at the with the other people, the Mugen Ryu or whatever their names are.
The Mugen.
Rin is falling asleep with the lady assassin. They're trying to get to sleep, but you know, Rin's got a little bit of insomnia, so the assassin lady's just like, you know, take a hit off of this. And
puff up pads.
Rin's not ready for that. She's got those virgin lungs. She's coughing a little too much, and she feels bad. She's just
16 years old. Like, 16. Yo, get up on this weed.
Get up on this weed.
And that's your... And that's probably potent back then too. Yeah.
From the opiate leaves.
Yeah, true. Yeah, mm. Probably some laced with something. Who knows?
She was smoking heroin for sure.
Oh yeah, and she mentions that, you know, while they're talking, Manji, smarter than he looks. You know, he's asking the right questions. And she asks him, "Hey, does he treat you well?" And Rin's just like, "It's not like that. You know, we're not together like that. But he's a good guy. Like, I've never seen him kill anybody who was unarmed. He'd never hurt any, you know, children, that I've seen at least. And he's always putting himself in harm's way to protect me." And she's like, "All right, well, that's good. But if you really want to get stronger, you really want to get this revenge, like, you have to start getting stronger yourself. You can't depend on this guy. And if you want to save yourself a life of pain, certainly don't fall in love with him." Which is clearly some sort of reflection of herself. Because later that night, while they're sleeping, she wakes up and is just screaming, in which one of the other guys comments, like, yeah, that's, you know, that's her curse. You know, she's clearly says some sort of trauma from her past that she relives in her nightmares.
She literally pulled a chunk of her hair out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so bad stuff. Something bad happened to this lady. The next day, they're doing their stakeout, waiting to see, you know, when Kagisa is going to show up. Rin and Manji are kind of hanging out. She's cleaning out his ears. Like, apparently that's something that you did back in the day, clean each other's ears out. That's
everybody's deaf.
Way too personal. Yeah, like, you're just going to puncture somebody's eardrums with that.
Everybody's
for sure.
Deaf.
Bro, you're not going to shower this man. You're not going to get him to say, yeah, here's some soap, bathe your ass, wash your ass cheeks.
Bathe your ass.
Clean his ears out. Bathe your ass, huh?
And she's like, oh, what? That doesn't feel good? He's just like,
no!
Like, nah, girl. Then he just lay back down. Go ahead, girl. Get in there.
Yeah, I guess he just heals right back up, so he'll be all right. He's a good one to practice on.
That's a good point, Rob.
He'll be all right.
You can't hurt me. Get in there, girl.
Clean deep. So as they're cleaning that out, so the Sun Kimono guy shows up and is just like, oh, isn't this a pretty scene? But he tells him, like, listen, Rin, you're the only one that's really seen Kagisa, especially recently. You're the only one that really knows what he looks like. So come to the window with me, check this out, see if you can point him out of a crowd. And they're not looking out too long when some dude in the middle of the street yells out, just like, I'm Kagisa, and nobody can imprison me. He's drawing a lot of attention to himself, and it's not him. And everybody is pretty solid in that. Even the people that don't know what this guy looks like, they're like, what idiot?
Except for...
Who was it, Manji?
Yeah, they're like, oh, that must be him. And he
just goes up.
Oh, that's right. That he does
it's
go
like
after
you
him.
Build up all this intelligence. Specifically in this episode that you're a smart
in this
dude,
episode.
And then you just piss it all away in that very moment.
Mm-hmm. there is a little scene before this where they're trying to figure out, they know at this point he's going to dress as a woman to try to get out of the city in disguise, but they don't know exactly what he's going to be, you know, wearing, which way he's going to go. And they're just like, how is he going to get through the gate? And while they're thinking this over, Rin runs out to grab some food, and she's talking to somebody just like, hey, you know this area, like, could somebody, you know, hypothetically speaking, try to sneak out through the city gate, you know, cross-dressed if they were a wanted person. And this woman's just like, no, like the guardsmen that watch the gates have been doing this for generations. Like it's literally in their bones. They take way too much pride in their craft for that. Like if somebody sneaks through the gate, it's because the shogunate wanted them to. Like, so that's Rin puts that connection together and is like, oh shit, the Itoryu must be working with the government on some level, and brings that back to other people she's working with. So that's when they're looking out in the crowd when the guy makes the big commotion. And while they're doing that, the Sun Kimono guy's just like, watch the crowd. Like, let's see if anybody else moves. And he sees like somebody, another girl or some woman dressed up in the flower kimono, which is what they were told to look out for. And he's like, hey, look at that. Does that look like him? And she's like, not only does it look like him, but that person is clearly holding his weapon wrapped up in a cloth. So
a woman can't hold that because it's way too heavy.
Way too heavy. So they go off to follow her, but we see in other parts of the city, the other people that were staking out waiting for him to show up are also seeing women in the same kimonos and are also following them. So something is going on. Somebody is wrong. Go ahead.
I'm gonna say this was a cutscene that I thought was like a little weird because they were flashing between all of them seeing these women in a kimono, and as a sudden it could have been edited better. This is what I thought you were talking about, Brandon. Yeah,
I wasn't really sure what was going on until later, but yeah. So they've all found different women dressed the same that they're following, and we really follow Rin and the Sun Kimono guy mostly, and they get, you know, pretty far and pretty deep into the woods. The guy's just like, yo, let's just do this. And Rin doesn't want to just kill somebody in cold blood. She wants to make sure that this is the guy. So she's like, we at least got to try to see their face. So let's try and, you know, call out to them or something. And right as she says that, the woman up ahead, the alleged woman up ahead, drops their wallet. And this guy's like, he's fucking playing with us right now. He's daring us to say something. So they
like this guy.
So he shouts out to him, and they turn around, come back for the wallet, and bend down. And he's like, you know, shouting to like, show your face, and slashes the hat. And it turns out it really is a woman. And she's, you know, just like, yeah, I was a prostitute that was hired by these guys. They told me to just lure some people out of town, but because they knew that there's somebody's a mole in the organization, and I'm going to find out who that mole is. And that guy's just like, I don't know what you're going to do. And she's like, well, it's not me. And two dudes saunter up on the road behind him.
Yo, have you ever seen motherfuckers roll up on somebody with as much confidence as these guys did.
Very cocky.
So confident. Like, put down the little box and was undoing it. Just like...
They having a casual conversation. That was the whole...
Here's your little message that you asked for your mom. Here you go. Yeah. You want to take care of this guy? We'll take care of him.
Yeah.
Zero worries. You need anything else?
I thought this was about to be another like crazy like fight that you know this guy was going to have to show down against these two dudes on the road.
I was so excited to see what the hell this guy does with that box, and he put the big thing down with like.
That was hard.
Oh, this is about to go in. What does he do with that? Like, what is that's a weapon?
Yeah,
man. You remember Keenan? That fight was crazy, wasn't it? Don't you love this show?
Well, we'll cut back to that because they cut away to show Manji in the street. He's cut down like two or three people, including the dude that was claiming to be Kagi-san. He's just like, well, shit, that couldn't have been him. He's just like, wait a minute, let me think about this. And he kind of cuts away from that. He just runs off to some indiscriminate destination. I don't know how he found where they were, but anyway, we cut back to Rin and the Sun Kimono guy, and fight's already over. This guy, you know, heads are already rolling on the ground. He's walking up on this prostitute, just like, I mean, you thought you were gonna win, like this is not your day. And this is where we see pretty much exactly what happened to Taki's friend at the brothel. He pins this woman to the ground. He decides, you know, much like in the artist in the other video or in the other episode, he's going to have some fun before he finishes up with her. And Rin, of course, is disgusted with this and is just like, you know, what the fuck? Like, get off of her. And he punches her back and is just like, you know, this is like, I'm going to have my moment here. Like, leave me the fuck alone. Yeah. Like, I'm going to do this and then we can get out of here. And he starts like cutting her up, mutilating her. Ugh.
Yeah,
we didn't need to see this.
We didn't need to see this.
That we could have saw the fight. We could have saw the fight with all those dudes. They got lit up. But how? What did they do before they got... They just simply just get cut. They just stand
like
there
and
get cut.
You remember Brennan, right?
You said what?
You remember that fight?
You remember the fight.
Oh, yeah. It was so good.
The fact that, you're going to use it to slice her... I thought he cut it off. So I was just like, oh, God damn. So at least it didn't go that far. But shit.
Yeah. No, see.
This shit is just brutal. Like, he put her hands the same way. I'm gonna do the same way. Like,
when he cut her chest open, I was just like, no, why are we watching this?
Yeah.
Why do I need to see this? Well, I already know this guy's fucked up. He fed her a dog. Like, you don't have to show me that she's fucked up anymore.
That's the fucking, that's the top. That's the peak.
Yeah. It's like, there's nothing. You can't make this guy worse. Like,
he's already a monster, yeah.
He killed a prostitute for no reason. He killed a dog and fed it to her.
He killed the whore with the heart of gold. Like, come on.
All she wanted was to be with him and have a house.
She just wanted a house.
That's it.
Oh my God.
You must protect his house.
So Rin finds some bravery after all and is just like, you know, hey, we are not allies. I see you now truly for who you are. Feeding me the dog wasn't enough. This is it. This is how I know.
Feed me the dog wasn't enough.
So she draws her sword and is about to charge this dude. But I mean, this guy is clearly still on another level. Rin has just got way too much to learn at this point. She's outclassed, outmatched. And doesn't he draw her own sword out or something? Yeah. Is about to put it like right between her eyes. And Manji just happened to show up right time, right place. Somehow he found them. I don't know how.
What is it called? Plot armor? Yeah, that's what it's called.
Plot armor.
Plot armor right here. She has the strongest plot armor I've ever seen.
Yeah. No, Goku does.
No, he doesn't. Motherfucker dies.
He still has plot armor.
He still comes back.
I'm just saying, he has plot armor for sure. Almost everybody has plot armor, but like
her armor is crazy. Yeah. Every time there's like how many times has she been on the edge of death? Like, yo, if you kill yourself, then I'll kill myself too. Okay, you know, it's like
in eight episodes.
Yeah,
I still think Goku because it's over a span of a longer time. I still feel like Goku
does not have eight episodes like this. I'll say that.
You're right. He has 800.
No, but I'm saying those eight exactly, like with this much plot, like the ratio, the proportions of plot armor that she's got these eight episodes
Goku's
is way higher than Goku's. But I still say you're right. Goku over time has way more. But in this eight episodes, there's no eight episodes.
Very concentrated.
Dragon Ball Z that has this much plot armor on Goku. It just doesn't exist. Because in eight episodes, you probably get like, you know, 15 minutes of actual content. Minutes of actual content in Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, eight episodes of filler on that shit.
But Manji does get in there, plot armor takes its effect. He cuts off this dude's hand, and it seems like it's about to be on when all of a sudden some people come out of the woods and are just like, yo, this guy's going crazy on everybody. He's murdering people. I just had like Red Dead Redemption flashbacks or something when I'm just like,
I just got here.
I was just trying to help out and somebody that doesn't know what's happening. And all of a sudden I got like, you know, the law after me or whatever. So I feel with Manji on this one. That's a tough break. But he's just like, hey, we got to get out of here. You know, they take this up. The guy takes the opportunity to run off into the woods. I'm sure we will see him again. And Manji and Rin are just like, yo, it's time to go. It's time to get out of here. In a very sudden end of the episode. And that's the end of episodes 5 through 8 of
the only thing I'll say they did right was not killing somebody for once. So at least somebody comes back. You know, it's like, oh, okay, he got his hand cut off. I was like, and he's about to die. Oh, guess not. One person survives.
Yeah.
All right. Five through eight. Go ahead, Ice. Go ahead first. Your feelings.
This shit is trash.
Yes.
This shit is, I don't, this is honestly, this is almost gangster level to me when it comes to like the pump fakes of fights that's going to happen and then don't happen. Like they're gangster level when it comes to that. And you know, that was one of our biggest gripes about gangster. They put two people together and it's like, yo, this fight about to be crazy. Then they cut away and then come back and it's a bullshit fight. Like they're doing the same thing that gangster does in that effect. Like this show is just giving me a lot of gangster vibes. At this point, gangster still is worse. I'll say that. It's still in the basement. But I feel like this anime has an identity crisis. I don't know. This anime doesn't even know what it wants to be. The protagonist doesn't even know who he wants to be. And it's not like a you trying to figure yourself out type of thing. It's like he talks so much shit. Like, he talks like he, like, when he was sitting down on the bench with that monk dude or the wannabe monk, the other immortal dude, he was talking like he was with the smoke and it's like, fam, we already know you don't have that. Like, this is not you. We already seen 4 episodes of you getting your ass kicked. These are not your lines to be saying, like, oh, you don't want to do this. I'm the guy. Why would he come at me with a dagger? Because somebody's already kicked your ass with one. Like,
yeah.
You know, you're not such a formidable foe that people just have to come strapped up and want to fight against you. And then you always dropping out all these weapons like you really with the shit. Like, you're garbage. Like, you are a garbage protagonist. Your personality is trash. Your character development is trash. I don't care about you. And it's just like, both of y'all, I don't care about you or Rin. And it's just like, your family, I care more about Rin, mom, and dad than herself.
And they dead.
And they dead. So it's like, come on, man. I think the show overall is trash. This is a trash ass show. My rating would be these stretch of episodes will be a 4,500. And then I think this stretch of episodes was a lot more boring and a lot like at least the first 4 had some type of fighting. This really didn't have that much, and all they did is just a bunch of cop out. So 4,500 for this stretch of episodes, and overall, this show is like a.
There's no overall. Just these stretch right now.
I thought we did.
Overall is only at the end.
Okay. Only at the end, man.
Okay. Sure. Yeah, 4,500.
Ready?
Can we have ice
part 2? Go ahead.
Like Rob, can we have Rob go? I want to hear Rob's.
All right. Yeah, I agree with Ice about like the fake outs. That was there were so many moments that I was just like, when the old lady showed up, I was like, sweet, like that's gonna be awesome. Like we're gonna see what she can do. Maybe she's gonna get involved. Nope. Oh, cool. We're gonna see these two immortal people fight. Nope. Oh shit. We're gonna see, you know, this guy fight against the fucking the two assassins that show up on the road.
Yeah.
Nope. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's every time the show. I don't think it doesn't have potential. I feel like it has potential and it's just letting itself down most of the time and not really spending its time wisely. Yeah, I would have way rather seen the fight between those people on the road than that like 2 or 3, what felt like 10 minutes of that dude torturing that woman. Yeah. And to send a message that we already understood from him killing the dog. Like, I got it. The dude is fucking crazy. He's a monster. I'm sold. You don't have to tell it to me anymore. I do like I wish we got to see more Kagiso on this stretch. You know, I do like him as a character. The bad guys to me are my favorite characters at this point. The bad guys, because Kagiso is kind of cool. I'm kind of still down with the Ryu at this point. Even the other guy, Taiko, I think his name is. I forget, but he's cool. Like he doesn't. We're told these are bad people, but even when we flash back to the scene, those two, even though they killed the parents, like they're not the ones that were torturing, you know, the mom, you know, they're not the ones that were making the experience just as bad as it was for Rin. And at this point, it seems like my prediction is that the people that are funding this other clan is the government. It seems like the government is trying to make some move to take out the Itoryu, but, you know, by saying like, oh, no, we're bringing you in. But really, they're trying to bring them in closer so they know where they are so they can send in their people to take them out. So to me, I feel like I don't even know if our protagonists are on the right side of this at this point. Like maybe Kagiso and this Taiko guy have a better idea of who the bad people are and they want to take out the Shogunate and all those other people. Maybe we should be siding with them. I don't know. I said a lot of what I was thinking. These four episodes didn't really do anything to help. I forget what I gave it last week. I think I said like a 4,800. I'm going to give it a 4,000 this week.
Whew.
Yikes.
Damn. That might be the lowest rating I've ever heard Rob give.
I gave Gangsta. I still think Gangsta was worse. Gangsta's still worse. I think I gave Gangsta like a 3. I forget what I gave. I think it was in like the 3,000 or 2,000s or something like that. I didn't care.
I thought it was like in a hundred. Somebody gave in the hundreds, I thought.
I did. I gave some hundreds.
He gave it a 500.
No, I think it was like 200. I mean, more of the same. I don't really have anything to add that's substantial to
You gotta go hard, Brennan. Come on, bro.
Y'all said it. I mean, the thing is, y'all really did a good job of saying it. Like the show. Ice, you did a really good job of identifying something that I hadn't even thought of yet. Is that this show does have a struggle of identity, so does the main character.
Yeah.
That's some real shit. Like the main character, half the time he's like brilliant genius level, you know, super skilled samurai. And the other half, he's like a bumbling idiot who can't fight without using his immortality and also fights the wrong people. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, who is this guy? Yeah. And why do I care about him? Yeah. You know, it's like, I don't. You know, I do not care about him. I am struggling to care about Rin's story because I want to care about her story, but I just don't. Like, if she, I'm just saying, like, we're watching this show, episode 7, Rin gets brutally murdered. Are we like, damn, like, I don't have a reason to watch the show anymore. Like, no, we just be like, I hope it shifts to the bad guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not going to devastate and end the show. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't care if she died. And watching it as anime, not saying I wouldn't care if a person died in general. Yeah. But that's really tough, man. And like I was saying earlier, is like the editing. It's so weird to get distracted by something like editing.
Yeah.
It's specifically in an animation. Because you can, and when you're animating something, you can storyboard every single moment. So it's so much easier to be able to do smooth transitions because you can do frame switches. You can do transitions that make more sense, that are easy to plan for. Like everything you plan ahead of time.
Switch.
Yeah, but you can plan. The thing is with animation, you plan every single thing. Like even further than like a fiction, like a movie. When you're filming it, like with animation, you're literally drawing every frame. And so I'm just like, I don't understand why you would ever have a point where you have to use, and within a 2-minute span, 3 different cut to black transitions. That doesn't make any sense to me. I'm just like, that is the laziest shit. The only thing I can really think of that really, the only justification I give this show is that they must have been working with the smallest fucking budget. That's what it has to be.
It can't because how they go hard with other stuff and how like it looks.
Well, think about it. The thing that is the most expensive thing to animate is the fight scenes. That is the most expensive thing you have to animate as any kind of animation you do. Like there's just way more frames, way more. There's just a lot more going on in those kind of scenes.
But what about the torture scenes?
What?
The torture scenes.
They move slow. That's the thing, is it's less frames. You know what I'm saying? It's less frames. Fight scenes have a lot of frames and a lot of things happening in those frames. And those are the most expensive, most time-consuming things that you can do as an animation
studio. They always bring in guys strictly for that. Not really
just for that. You normally have to bring in a whole separate team just to animate that shit. And so, like, what I'm imagining, the only justification I can give to this studio, which we already said is a new studio, is that they ain't got the funding like these other studios have, and they had to put together a show quickly that had 24 episodes, and they pretty much are probably going to save all the fight scenes and all the fight budget to the end. So they have to impose and show that all these fights happen, but they can't show the fights.
They should have simply because they don't have the money. Saga budget.
I know, right? Villain Saga had all of the money. So for me, I hope that's what the case is. But even if it is, I still don't give a fuck because this show is like, if I wasn't watching it for this podcast, ain't no way I would have made it to 8 episodes. No, just wouldn't have happened. I just like, this is dumb. Two episodes in, I would have been like, I'm done. And you probably after the first episode.
And you make a good point, Brendan, about the fight scenes at the end maybe being the magnum opus. But it's like, I don't give a fuck to get there. Like, I don't care to get there. You could have built a dope-ass story to at least make me want to be like, okay, I want to see that. I can see where they cut corners, but I care about the people. I care about the story to even get there. But I don't give a fuck about none of that.
No, they bumbled all of it. So for me, it's funny, Rob. You actually called out my score. I was going to go, this show is a huge whiff of a swing so far. But at the same time, it's like one of the strongest windups I've ever seen for that swing. And so it's just like this show has so much potential because there's so many pieces that could be working together and making this into something special. And I have a hard time imagining seeing that happening. It could still happen, to be fully honest. There still are a lot of good pieces. There's a lot of random story elements and a lot of random characters. The two characters, same as you, Keenan, that I actually kind of sort of care about. But overall, thus far, this has, as I will quote the ice, this show has been trash. And thus far, Keenan is taking an L like a motherfucker on his pick. And that is a 4,000 rating.
Okay. Did you call that out, Brittany?
Huh?
Didn't you call that out at the beginning? Or was that Keenan caught that out for you for Iron Blooded Orphans? Somebody called out an L for somebody.
I called out an L.
No, you called out an L for Iron Blooded Orphans.
No, you called you called out an L for me.
You called it out.
That's
it
true.
You know what? You know what's funny? Rob, that's what bothered me about Rob. But Rob is a Rob's about pump fake. He's the greatest pump faker of all time. Rob sat there and gave the nicest way he can critique this and goes, 4,000. Nobody thought that he's going to give a lower score to Ice, but what he was saying.
I didn't see that coming at all. Did not see that coming.
I expected a 4,500 also, maybe like a 4,800 from Rob, the way he was speaking about it. But he's
that 4,000 came out of my fist. He said it was zero emotion, too, didn't he? He's like, yeah, 4,000.
It could be a little better. I see some potential in it, you know, 2.
What? I gave it it's a 5 right now. I got a 10.
Imagine him being somebody's coach, like, yeah, I can see you really working on that layup. You know, in this coming up season, you're going to be playing 0 minutes. Like, it's fuck? Like 0 minutes? You hype me up like I was the next coming to Jordan. Like, I just need some work. I can be the sixth man. No, 0 minutes. You get garbage time.
Garbage time.
For me, I think you guys said a lot about when I went into this for watching. I said last week, I was like, this is going to either go the good way or the bad way. And when I was watching it, the first episode I was watching, I was like, okay, cool. I might be kind of safe. And then when they got to that, to the fight scene, really, because I was just like, okay, it's cool. Then when they got to the fight scene with the two immortal characters, so I was like, they're building this up. That shit was a letdown. That shit deflated me. And I was like, there's no way you have that dope of a moment that you could have had, and then you're going to save it for other episodes. This was your best moment. To either have this character and or bring that character back. If he does lose, he runs away, comes back, and they fight again at the end or some shit, whatever the case may be. But no, this motherfucker dies as soon as you meet him. So I'm watching this, and I'm just like, oh, man, this is this is not going to end for this second. But here's the thing. I feel like I'm a man about my shit. Like, I can't speak for everybody else, but I'm a man about my L's. It's not looking good at all. This is just looking really bad. There's nothing more to say about it. I'm not going to blame anybody for any recommendation.
You need
for
to
it.
Talk to Chaz. That's what you need to do. Chaz is the one who told you to watch this.
After I go through the whole thing, and if it's a full on L, take my L like a G, then I'll have a discussion with Chaz, beat the shit out of him, and then we'll go from there. But yeah, I mean, I won't get into that. But I don't have the biggest issue with Ren like y'all do. I think her story is the driving story. She's damn near the co-protagonist or whatever. I don't know if that's even a thing, but it's kind of like, it's more about her. And I feel like Manji just comes in there, cleans some shit up, and then that's the end of it.
Agreed.
It's really, so I feel like she's more of a protagonist than actually he is.
100%.
Yeah, and I
think
for sure.
I think her story is, I'm not turned on by her story. I was like, I see her blood for revenge, but I wish they would have had her just train more to kill some people. That's all it is. It's like, she should have some kills under her belt right now for as much as she went through and her drive for revenge. So that's what bothers me too. At times, I think the animation is dope, but I think the animation could be dope for these small little scenes because they're not using them for the fucking fight scenes, like y'all said. So it just takes away from that. And so I guess I got to give my overall rating, I got to give it a 5,000. And I hope that it hovers around that area, but that means it can still go lower.
There's 4,000 more points, 49.99 more points to lose, and they look like they are ready for all of them.
They want all of them. They said give them up.
Me personally, the reason why I can't get this lower than Gangster, even as of right now, it has somewhat of something to cling onto with Ren, at least for her story. Gangsta had nothing. We didn't know what to latch onto at all. It had literally nothing to latch onto. No fight scene, no story, no dick in the alley. Nothing.
Yeah, I don't think this isn't salvageable for sure.
So, I mean...
Well, I'll say the one thing that made Gangsta the worst for me was that... It was actually the same thing we're saying right now. To be fully honest, is that Gangsta had potential.
Yeah.
Gangsta had characters that could have been dope. Gangsta had fights that should have been dope. And that's right. What made it worse than something that's just bad. That's why it's worse than Kuroko Mode Basketball. Kuroko had no hope. You know what I'm saying? Like, that show, for me, had no hope. We were watching it, and it's like, as soon as we got into it, I'm just like, there's no way.
Like,
there's
we had to fight and claw and make basketball references to real basketball in order to get through that show.
Yeah. It's like, there was nothing to grab onto. It's like, I don't care about Kuroko. I don't care about any of these other characters. There's no real stakes. Nothing really matters. No lives are on this. Like, there's literally nothing that matters in this show.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, they started from the bottom and they stayed there. Whereas this show and like Gangsta have potential to be like, yo, we see what you could be.
Yeah.
And you just continuously fail. It's like, would you rather have the kid that's just like, yo, like this is just a dumb kid? Or would you rather have the kid that like, yo, you're way smarter than this, but you're always effing up.
Like,
you know what I'm saying?
Kevin from The Office.
Right, it's just like, what do you do? Like, what do you do? Yeah. Who is it? Six eggs in one hand, you know, half dozen in the other. It's just like,
yeah.
So yeah, I personally find the talent wasted is more disappointing than somebody just not being capable.
I agree. That's all I can say. I'm taking this L. There's no like Keenan being like, well, I'm gonna fight for because it's my pick. I'm not one of those type of people. That's never been me. I can take an L.
Has Keenan taken an L yet on his pick?
I don't think so.
No, not at all.
His first time. Enjoy it.
That's my thing. I've had dope anime. I feel like right now, if I take this L, I'm cool. You can't win every championship, baby.
You can actually win every championship.
You really can. Bill Russell. Ask Bill Russell if you can.
You definitely can.
He won 11. He played 13 seasons, won 11.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds like he didn't win every championship.
But that sounds like you definitely can. Ask
the two seasons.
How you going to give me an example and say?
I think he was injured last season.
Ask Floyd Mayweather. Ask who? That's a champion. There you go.
Yeah. He's won every single
season. Never lost.
Yeah. So.
Never lost like LeVar Ball.
Never lost.
But at the end of the day, this is where we're at. What do y'all think, man? What is y'all scores for this? These
Keenan, what was your rating? I don't think he gave you a rating. What was
it? 5,000.
My bad. You did say that.
Yeah, I'd also like to point out, it looks like Keenan has like an anime tattoo right now.
I was just about to say that too.
Oh, this right here?
Yeah, the sunbeam that you have across your chest, like anime.
Oh yeah.
He's like, yo, this man's about to transform. He's taking his first L, and he's like coming out of his cocoon.
You're not a man until you take your first L.
Right.
Oh man, this is looking bad, but it is what it is. But let us know what y'all think in the comment section. These next four, 5 through 8. Blaze of the Immortal, the Amazon Prime version, 24 episode version, Like I said, I'm going to try to watch the original version, a little bit of that, and see if they're showing more. If they are, I'm going to be very upset that you took this, reanimated it, and fucked it up. If this is the old one showed more and was better. It doesn't make any sense. Because you did, they did 13 episodes, and I want to see the other one that actually finished, and it's 13. Because if it finished in 13 and you added more here and there's no reason to add any more, you fucked it up too.
You could have just did 13 and maximized the budget.
Exactly. You could have, yeah. So, I mean, we don't know. But let us know what you think in the comment section. Go ahead and put L's in the comment section for me. I don't get shit, nigga.
F in the chat. Like,
I'll bounce back like Meek Mill, baby. It's all good. I ain't tripping. So, Ice, go ahead and drop yourself.
Ice.McGowan, and message us. I've been having a lot of good conversations with a lot of our family, our animation family. They've been having just DMing me, asking me certain scenarios, and just talking to me about anime. I love that shit. I know the other guys love it as well. So hit us up and have conversations with us. Ice.McGowan.
Ice Part 2 was yours. You wanted to be him today. How you gonna be mad at me? You wanted to be him.
And we did a good job.
It's just really, first of all, it's really funny that's where you go with that. I was like, hey, I'm going to agree with Ice. And now it turns into, you wanted to be him. Like, oh, okay, cool. You just, Matt, take your L and shut up. That's all you gotta do. Just take your L and shut up. My name is Brennan. I agreed with Ice today. And my shit is at Mr. Producer Face on the gram. Damn, Keenan.
I show daddy today. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I'm RV Danger on Instagram.
Hey, hey,
hey, man. He just wants to upset me because you took your L.
No, so, not at all.
Brennan, do you think he's coming back from this L, bro? Do you think he's going to come back from this?
You know, like I said, I don't know. Like, this show can go in any direction. It can go in any direction. So we'll see. Like, I hope he does. I hope this show is good because I have to watch it either way.
Here's the thing. At the end of the day, for me, I look at it like this. I understand. I'm going to probably take more L's than not just because I don't know what I'm picking. So
I'm so tempted just to hit the stop recording button right now.
Rob had to drop his stuff. So I don't know. I don't know what I'm picking.
Rob already dropped his stuff.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, I just did.
He did.
Yeah.
You got to drop yours.
And another L.
That's an L? Okay, whatever. All right. If that's it. Brittany, whenever you got to make yourself feel better, dog.
Yeah, that's right. I'm the one who needs to do that today.
Yeah. I'm not tripping on it. At the end of the day, I'm Keenan Baker on everything, and I'm still the champion, baby. I'm still out here. I've won a few of these matches. I've won a few of these matches already when it comes to picking anime.
I love you, Keenan. I don't give a fuck.
All right, man. See y'all next week. Thank y'all for tuning into another episode of Animation. We are fuck y'all.
Yeah, shit.